Hello everyone. Today we will be reading pages 27 to 48 of The New Human Revolution, Volume 2. So let's begin. Shinichi Yamamoto here turned to the topic of daily Buddhist practice. What President Toda meant when he called himself an upstanding common mortal is very profound from a Buddhist perspective. In the context of our actual behavior, it means a way of life eternally dedicated to learning, development, improvement, and seeking the way, while striving towards perfecting ourselves as human beings. The first Soka Gakkai president, Sunesaburo Makiguchi, was always studying. He devoted every spare moment to reading books, even while waiting for the bus. In prison, too, he avidly read the words of Kant and other authors. President Toda was the same. During his stay at the head temple just before his death, he was studying the ancient Chinese work, Compendium of 18 Histories. I, therefore, wish to assert that only when you tenaciously persist in your studies, come what may, for your growth and development, do you qualify as disciples of President Toda and as members of the young men's and women's division. Faith, practice, and study are the basic tenets of our Buddhist practice. President Toda urged YWD members, make study your foundation, because when you make the profound teachings of the Daishonin's Buddhism the philosophy and backbone of your life, you can attain indestructible happiness. Study is an indispensable foundation. It not only enables us to discern whether a religion is profound or shallow, it also helps us gain a clear understanding of the true teachings and spirit of the Daishonin. President Toda declared, "Reason gives rise to faith, and faith seeks out reason." In other words, if your understanding of reason, that is, Buddhist principles, is deepened, then your faith will also deepen. And if your faith deepens, your understanding of Buddhist principles will also deepen. The human heart is easily swayed. Even joy that was once vibrant and alive grows cold with the passing of time. It is the sad way of the world that once persecutions arise, people begin to harbor doubts about faith. During the great oppression suffered by the Soka Gakkai during World War II, almost all of Mr. Makiguchi's disciples, except for Mr. Toda, abandoned their faith. They couldn't understand why they should have to endure such suffering when they had embraced faith to become happy. However, in the Gosho, the Daishonin clearly states that obstacles will arise one after another. In the final analysis, those who discarded their faith during the war did so because they hadn't studied the Daishonin's teachings. Study illuminates the path of faith on which we should advance as Buddhist disciples. From now on, the Soka Gakkai will base itself on the two integral pillars of discussion, meetings, and study. Therefore, I would especially like to ask you, the members of the Young Women's Division, to apply yourselves diligently to your study of the Daishonin's Buddhism. Shinichi had set forth the two main directions of emphasis for activities, discussion meetings and study, at the headquarters leaders meeting on April 26th, by which time his inauguration as the next Soka Gakkai president had already been decided. Solid pillars are necessary in the construction of any great edifice. Therefore, on the eve of this new beginning for the Soka Gakkai, Shinichi had before anything else set forth basic guidelines that would serve as the crucial supports for the organization's activities. Upon his inauguration, he proposed concrete study guidelines for the members according to their study department qualifications. The following guidelines were adopted and subsequently announced on the front page of the May 13th issue of the Seikyo Shimbun, the Soka Gakkai's newspaper. All members to thoroughly read and study Daibyaku Renge, Seikyo Shimbun, and Guide to Propagation. assistant instructor, in addition to the above, to gain a solid grounding in the fundamentals of the expedient means, chapters, and those gosho that take the form of letters of encouragement to individual followers. Teacher, in addition to the above, to become completely familiar with the gosho, especially the 10 major writings and the commentaries on each of them by the 26th high priest Nichiken Shonin. Assistant professor, in addition to the above, to study all the writings contained in the gosho and the 6-volume writings of Nichiken and gain a firm grasp of their profound import. Professor, in addition to the above, to gain a thorough command of the gosho and the selected works of the Fuji school. With these basic guidelines as a target, the members steadily applied themselves, day by day, to their study of Buddhism. Study provided them with a concrete foundation for their conviction in faith. It served as the driving force behind their efforts to enlighten others in society and fueled the epoch-making Soka movement in its pursuit of peace and the promotion of culture. On May 10, the day after the YWD leaders' meeting, the YMD leaders' meeting was held at the Tokyo Gymnasium in Sendagaya, not far from the Soka Gakkai headquarters. The youthful president, Shinichi Yamamoto, addressed his fellow members in the young men's division with dynamic vigor. The original Buddha, Nichiren Daishonin, declares, "This I will state. Let the gods forsake me. Let all persecutions assail me. Still I will give my life for the sake of the law. Engraving this passage in my heart, I am determined to dedicate my life to the cause of world peace, to worldwide Kosen Rufu, striving together with all of you while sharing your sufferings and problems right to the very end." President Oda once said, "The youth are the pillar of Japan. The youth are the eyes of Japan. The youth are the great ship of Japan. The future of not only Japan, but the entire world rests on the shoulders of the young people. Especially you, who embrace the supreme philosophy of the Daishonin's Buddhism, will pave a way through the darkness and confusion of society. You will be the pillars who take on the responsibility for the world in the next generation. I am firmly convinced of this." Shinichi spoke frankly about the path that Soka youth should strive to follow. "To build a new society, it is important that each of you develop into a person of first-class caliber in your particular field, be it science, economics, education, politics, or whatever. Also, instead of being wrapped up in the narrow concerns and interests of Japan, you must strike out into the wide world and contribute to the peace and happiness of humanity. This is your mission." While describing their lofty mission, Shinichi did not neglect to clarify practical matters that were close to home. "Young people must have the heart of a lion and confront evil with unflinching courage. At the same time, they must have sincere and earnest attitudes, always demonstrating utmost courtesy and consideration to others. In our district activities, meanwhile, I want the young people to serve as the driving force in our discussion meetings and warmly embrace their fellow members with their youthful and vibrant spirit. Young people are the hope and the life of the district. This young person is the pride of our district. Our district is solid because of this person's presence. Those valued in this way by members of the men's division and women's division may be called the true leaders of the next generation. Discussion meetings are the lifeline of Kosen Rufu, a movement promoted by ordinary people. Therefore, let's never neglect our discussion meetings and strive to make each one a great success through your efforts as youth division members." The youth responded to Shinichi's appeal with loud applause. He concluded his address, "I have profound faith in you. Should I fall in the course of my struggles, I ask that you carry on my aspirations and continue to advance strongly towards the goal of Kosen Rufu." For a moment, there was complete silence. Everyone was stunned that Shinichi, who was devoting himself unstintingly to Kosen Rufu, should be thinking ahead to the possibility that he might be unable to continue. This glimpse into his innermost heart filled them with deep emotion. Thunderous applause enveloped the hall. Shinichi's address conveyed his deep expectations for the youth who would be Soka Gakkai's successors. The perpetuation of the Kosen Rufu movement depended on the cultivation of capable people. Shinichi prayed that, above all, able leaders with genuine lion-like courage would emerge to carry on the Soka spirit. There are leaders who, wishing to remain secure in their positions of power and authority, deliberately hinder the flourishing growth and development of youth. Others exploit and sacrifice the young for their own selfish ends, hoping to gain personal glory. Shinichi, however, was gladly willing to sacrifice himself for the young people and prayed that they would go on to surpass him, becoming, as it were, even bluer than the indigo leaves. The day Shinichi was inaugurated as Soka Gakkai president marked the start of a great groundswell towards realizing the membership goal of 3 million households. As Shinichi plunged into the midst of the struggle, traveling tirelessly around the country, he set a surging wave in motion. He continued to forge ahead at full speed. On May 13, Shinichi visited the head temple. On the 16th, after his return to Tokyo, he attended a joint leaders meeting for the Koiwa, Koto and Katsushika chapters at the Taito Gymnasium. On the 17th, he attended a similar joint meeting for the Tsurumi, Keihin and Yokohama chapters at the Kawasaki Civil Hall. Shinichi had many fond memories of Tsurumi. During the painful time when Josei Toda's business had foundered, Shinichi visited Tsurumi almost every day on work-related matters. At that time, he was suffering from a chest ailment and his physical strength was at its lowest ebb. The first obstacle the Soka Gakkai encountered after the war, he began, sharing his reminiscences of those days, was the serious setback in President Toda's business. Mr. Toda suffered most of all. Three leaders were greatly indebted to him. I'll never forget what they said. The first leader had urged Shinichi, quit working for Toda. What's the point of ruining your health? His words were bereft of any gratitude or integrity. With burning indignation, Shinichi responded firmly. President Toda is my mentor. Isn't a disciple supposed to serve his mentor no matter what? The second leader whispered to him, forget about working for Toda and come into business with me. We'll make a fortune. His suggestion reflected his baseness. Shinichi glared silently at this self-serving opportunist. But the third leader had said, now is the time that you must stand up in faith. Never doubt the power of the Gohonzon. You must resolutely protect President Toda. Toda had been closely watching the behavior of these leaders. One day he remarked, Shinichi, right now is vital. If you can persevere in faith in the midst of obstacles, the resulting benefit will be truly great. Keep chanting Daimoku. Your health will definitely improve. Throughout the difficulties, Shinichi worked tirelessly at Toda's side. The first two leaders eventually left the Soka Gakkai, and both later experienced loss. One succumbed to illness, the other's business ran into problems. The third, however, who had told Shinichi to protect Toda, continued to exert himself energetically as a Soka Gakkai leader and enjoyed not only a serene state of mind, but also won the respect of all who knew him. After Shinichi had related the present circumstances of each of these three leaders, he stressed energetically, the Daishonin writes, when an even ruler, in consort with priests of erroneous teachings, tries to destroy the correct teaching and do away with a man of wisdom, Those with the heart of a lion king are sure to attain Buddhahood. When the Soka Gakkai, the organization of Kosen Rufu, meets with persecution or is placed in difficult circumstances, it is vital that we each take a resolute stand with the courage of a lion. This is the behavior of one who has genuine faith. I am convinced that what I am today is the result of good fortune accrued through my wholehearted commitment to serving President Toda, the great leader of Kosen Rufu, during his most bitter struggles. As a person's true worth is revealed at a crucial moment, how we behave and what action we take when the Soka Gakkai is persecuted and subjected to unremitting criticism and slander will determine the course of our lives. Obstacles represent an opportunity for personal growth, a time for great advancement. Therefore, I hope you will regard the obstacles we may encounter as a source of joy and pride, and that each of you will fight valiantly with the heart of a lion. Shinichi deliberately touched on the subject of obstacles because he keenly sensed that various persecutions would befall the organization in the future. The Soka Gakkai had begun to advance strongly towards its membership goal of 3 million households. And this was just the first wave, one that would continue to gather momentum. It was surely only a matter of time before the wave grew to such magnitude that it would usher in an unprecedented age of Kosen Rufu. In light of the Daishonin's teachings, the organization was therefore certain to be assailed by great obstacle. The Daishonin tells us not to expect good times, but take the bad times for granted. Shinichi's guidance was motivated by his fervent wish that not a single member fall by the wayside at such a time. But some in the audience heard his words as mere reminiscences of times past. He continued, "That doesn't mean, however, that you exert yourself only at important times and do nothing the rest of the time. Definitely not. Those whose practice of faith is haphazard and careless on a day-to-day basis cannot possibly hope to fight when it really counts. In the world of sports, for example, it is regular practice and training that enables athletes to show their full potential at the vital moment in competition. Now is the most important time. Eternity, after all, is just an unending succession of single moments. If you don't fight now, then how many years from now do you plan on starting?" The Daishonin states, "Now is the last moment of one's life." He stresses the importance of exerting ourselves earnestly in faith at this present moment. "Therefore, please strive with all your might now, this moment, today, turning each page of your life so that you have no regrets." Within just 2 months of becoming the third Soka Gakkai president, Shinichi's activities had taken him practically all over the country. His schedule included attending the Hokkaido General Chapter Leaders Meeting in Sapporo on May 22nd, the Kyushu General Chapter Leaders Meeting in Fukuoka on May 29th, the Tohoku General Chapter Leaders Meeting in Koriyama, Fukushima Prefecture on June 4th, the Chubu General Chapter Leaders Meeting in Nagoya, Aichi Prefecture on June 10th, and the Chugoku General Chapter Leaders Meeting in Okayama Prefecture on June 12th. This was in addition to his almost daily attendance at chapter leaders meetings in Tokyo and the surrounding metropolitan areas. Shinichi Yamamoto was fulfilling his mission in the true sense of the Japanese term shimei, which literally means to use one's life. From the day of his inauguration as president, he had travelled continually to give guidance, while constantly chanting Daimoku for all members. In the midst of these activities, a huge tsunami hit the Pacific coast of Japan in the early hours of May 24th, affecting coastal regions in Hokkaido, Tohoku, and other areas. The tsunami, reaching a maximum wave height of 4 to 5 meters, had been generated by an earthquake that struck Chile in South America shortly after 4 a.m. Japan time on May 23rd. The waves traveled for one day and one night across the Pacific to pound on Japan's coastline, killing 139 people and damaging more than 46,000 homes. The worst hit areas were the Sanriku coast of northern Honshu, Japan's main island, and the southern coast of Hokkaido. Shinichi awoke early on the morning of the 24th and immediately turned on the radio. He had learned from news reports the previous day that Chile had experienced a large earthquake. While deeply concerned about the damage inflicted on the Chilean people, he was also worried about the possibility of the quake causing a tsunami. Shinichi got up several times during the night and turned on the radio. But as of 3 a.m., no tsunami alert had been issued. At that time, however, there was a news flash reporting that large waves were washing the shores of Kamaishi City in Iwate Prefecture and other areas. Shinichi hurriedly made his way to the Soka Gakkai headquarters. It was still quiet. Most of the staff had not yet arrived at work. A short while later, Vice General Director Kiyoshi Jujo arrived. How people respond in times of emergency reveals their sense of responsibility. And indeed, by 8:30 a.m., the vast majority of the staff was present. Sleeves rolled up to his elbows, Shinichi rapidly sent off a round of telegrams to the disaster areas, expressing his condolences and offering encouragement to those affected. He also requested reports on the damage suffered by members in each affected region and dispatched leaders immediately to areas that had suffered the greatest damage. In addition, he issued instructions that a disaster relief action center be set up and relief activities undertaken. And he called on members in the unaffected regions to offer assistance. He responded with swift and appropriate measures. Concern for the members in the stricken regions robbed Shinichi of most of his appetite. After he had finished giving instructions and making arrangements for the relief effort, he sat down before the Gohonzon in the main hall of the Soka Gakkai headquarters and offered prayers for the safety of the residents of those areas. Soon, a steady stream of reports from the affected areas began to filter in. A local leader from Shiogama in Miyagi Prefecture, where the tsunami had penetrated the city center, had excitedly reported, "Fortunately, all our members are safe and unharmed. Everyone is talking about how they were protected and what a benefit it is. We have received Sensei's telegram of encouragement and are all in high spirits and doing our best. The tsunami was of such magnitude that it washed boats and other shipping vessels far ashore." The following brief yet heartening report was wired from Miyako City in Iwate Prefecture. "Remarkable benefit. No Gohonzon lost. 4 houses underwater. 7 partial flooding. Gohonzon conferral ceremony tonight. High-spirited advance continues." Happily, the members in each of the affected areas suffered remarkably little damage. In rapid response, members from around Japan sent aid and assistance to the disaster-struck regions. The Soka Gakkai leaders coordinating the disaster relief activities in each location exerted themselves unstintingly to offer encouragement and lend a helping hand to members and non-members alike who were affected by the tsunami. The Soka Gakkai's prompt aid was a great source of strength to the people in the disaster areas, helping them get back on their feet. The government, however, was extremely slow in responding to the crisis. The Japan Socialist Party refused to attend Diet deliberations because the ruling Liberal Democratic Party had arbitrarily rammed the new security treaty resolution through the House of Representatives. This had brought the Diet to a complete standstill. It was not until the afternoon of May 25th, more than 30 hours after the tsunami had hit, that the cabinet decided to establish a task force to deal with the natural disaster. However, since all of Diet functions were stalled, no substantive measure to address the situation was forthcoming. For the disaster victims, nothing could be more frustrating. On May 27th, the vice governor and other officials of Iwate Prefecture traveled to Tokyo. They submitted a request that special legislation be passed allocating disaster relief funds. Although the tsunami itself had been a natural disaster, it was the human disaster, the government's inability to take appropriate measures, that was inflicting suffering on the people. A politician's first concern must be to protect the people. Relief to those affected by a natural disaster must be a top priority. Shinichi was deeply pained when he thought of the suffering of those people. At the same time, he was angered by Japanese politics, which had lost sight of the people as its raison d'etre and become entrenched in party interests and maneuvering other over the security treaty. The government's careless response to areas hit by the tsunami powerfully drove home to Shinichi the need to make Risho Ankoku, the establishment of a peaceful society based upon Nichiren Daishonin's Buddhism, a reality. Risho means to establish true Buddhism. In other words, to widely spread throughout society such humanistic Buddhist tenets as compassion and respect for the sanctity of life. This is the religious mission of those who practice the Daishonin's Buddhism. At the individual level, it means embarking on an inner human revolution, tapping and cultivating the compassion within our lives, and firmly establishing humanism as our guiding principle. If human life itself, the principal creative force, can be thus transformed, the repercussions of such a transformation will spread to society and to all spheres of human endeavor. As a result, not only will politics support the cause of human peace and happiness, so will education, culture and economics, thus leading to Ankoku, securing the peace of the land. This process resembles the way the waters of a great river irrigate the fields, enriching the soil and promoting the luxuriant growth of grasses and trees. Buddhism is the great river and the people are the fields. The grasses and trees, meanwhile, correspond to peace and culture. The essence of the Daishonin's Buddhism lies in creating a peaceful society through the propagation of the true law. The Daishonin took the people's suffering as his own and stood up in the cause of Kosen Rufu, raising high the banner of the true law for the realization of peace and happiness. His purpose was to eradicate the very real misery he saw all around him. Through his actions, he showed us that the religious mission of establishing true Buddhism is completed through the fulfillment of our secular and social mission to secure the peace of the land. Herein lies the Buddhist's unavoidable connection with the activities and concerns of society that encompass such spheres as politics, education, culture, and economics. It does not, however, mean bringing religion directly into the realm of politics or for a religion to align itself with the political powers. Religion is the soil that nurtures and spiritually elevates human beings. It fosters and produces capable people. The Soka Gakkai had recommended and sent into the political arena people it deemed to possess sufficient character and integrity to take on the task of governing with the interests of all Japanese citizens at heart. The Soka Gakkai itself, however, did not have any direct involvement in policy making or other political matters. When a House of Councillors representative, elected with the endorsement of the Soka Gakkai, sought Shinichi's advice on a policy decision concerning the new security treaty, Shinichi replied firmly, "That's an issue for you politicians to think about, to agonize over, and to decide in the people's best interests. My sole wish is that you exert yourself for the welfare of all people and for peace." Above all else, Shinichi desired the people's happiness and the realization of peace. That is why he did his absolute utmost to raise and send out into each field of society individuals capable of fighting wholeheartedly for the people. The wings of youth, glimmering with the golden light of hope, bore them boldly towards the vast skies of the future. On June 26, 1960, Shinichi Yamamoto attended the 3rd Student Division General Meeting held at the Setagaya Civic Center in Tokyo. The last division formed by Josei Toda was the Student Division, established on June 30, 1957. This was during the Yubari Coal Miners Union incident, in which Soka Gakkai members, who were coal miners in Yubari Town, Hokkaido, were barred from the Workers' Union. At the time, Shinichi was travelling tirelessly back and forth across the vast plains of Japan's northernmost island in an effort to bring a light of hope to his fellow members and crush the unfair oppression by the union. The student division was born amid a turbulent struggle to protect the people from the tyrannical demands of the then powerful and influential coal miners' union and to safeguard their human rights and religious freedom. The time of its birth attested to the mission of the student division members as the next generation of leaders in society to protect the people. From Hokkaido, Shinichi had sent a telegram containing a deeply heartfelt message of congratulations to the inaugural meeting of the student division, which was held at Azabu Auditorium at Minato Ward in Tokyo. Nearly 500 members had gathered for that first meeting. Within 3 years, the membership had now grown to 2,800 students. The division song, composed by some of the students, was performed at the meeting. The atmosphere was alive with the dynamic energy of youth striving together with newly appointed Soka Gakkai President Yamamoto to accomplish the membership goal of 3 million households and thereby embark towards the achievement of world peace. They sang powerfully, their voices reverberating to the heavens. As our great command resounds, now Lion Kings advance on alone. Youth awaken to life's reality, gather with a valiant cry. Follow on, 20,000 friends, ever pursue the pure path of truth. The 20,000 friends of whom they sang was the divisional target that the students had proposed towards the 7th anniversary of Josei Toda's death. Addressing the general meeting, Goro Watari, who had been appointed as the student division chief the previous November, reconfirmed this goal as a guideline for the division's activities. He also voiced his hope that, while expanding its membership to 20,000 students, the division would take the lead in the great campaign to accomplish the organization's overall membership goal of 3 million households. A storm of applause engulfed the hall. Following on the heels of the young men and young women's divisions, these wise and courageous young students were now poised to stand up for Kosen Rufu. Shinichi felt deeply encouraged when he envisioned these noble friends energetically striding out into the vast realm of Kosen Rufu while holding aloft the banner of the law. He rejoiced at the students' vibrant spirits. It was then time for President Shinichi Yamamoto to speak. Bowing deeply to the audience, he began. It's been a long time since we last met. Whenever I see you, the members of the student division, I am filled with hope. I trust and respect you very much. His tone was courteous, as if he were addressing important leaders of society. He treated the students as adults. Education is a process of one person inspiring another. Those who cannot respect young people as individuals are unqualified to teach. During my youth, I struggled with poverty and illness, Shinichi continued. My physical condition was such that I thought I might die at any time. As a result, I could not study as I would have liked. However, by meeting a great mentor like President Toda, receiving training from him and persevering in faith, I have now achieved a state of life where I can declare that no one is happier than me. To repay the profound debt I owe Mr. Toda, I am resolved to exert myself heart and soul, to risk my very life in the cause of realizing his vision for Kosen Rufu. Should I be struck down, however, or should I be rendered powerless to achieve this, I would like you to surpass me, and, with even greater strength than I can muster, realize the vision of our mentor, President Toda, spreading his ideals throughout the world. I humbly ask this of you. To create an enduring flow of Kosenryufu, Shinichi had launched a struggle that went beyond the limits of his own physical strength. It was such an arduous undertaking that he could have collapsed at any time. For that reason, he wanted to entrust the future to the youth. Shinichi then touched on the relationship between religion and civilization. Politics, economics, and science, he said, all need to be rooted in a great philosophy, a great religion. The Buddhism of Nichiren Daishonin, the philosophy that expounds the oneness of body and mind, he stressed, is the fountainhead that will enable the creation of a genuine humanistic civilization. The builders of a great civilization require powerful faith and enormous passion. He then went on to outline how youth should live. The task before you now is to develop tremendous passion, study harder than anyone else, and devote yourself to your practice of faith. What lies ahead for those who neglect to train and strengthen themselves in their youth is a life as fragile as a castle built on sand. I would like you to advance steadily and patiently, diligently applying yourselves to your studies and thoroughly developing yourselves so that you will emerge as great people in the future.